Journey to Topaz by Yoshiko Yoshida. Chapter 12, Dust Storm. "Wait here," the doctor said quietly. "We'll try to find a bed for the little girl." Yuki almost felt sick herself as she watched them take Emmy away. It was terrible to see her so limp and lifeless when only a few minutes ago she had been talking with her about arrowheads and trilobites. "Do you think Emmy will be all right?" she whispered anxiously to her mother. Mother nodded. "I'm sure she will," she said. "We'll know soon." Yuki turned to Emmy's grandmother, but for once Mrs. Kurihara didn't seem to have anything to say. She sat silently and hunched on a stiff folding chair, rubbing her hands together as though she were terribly cold. She didn't even seem to notice all the people with baggage and cots that crowded the hospital corridor. The camp had run out of completed barracks for the people who continued to arrive from Tanforan. And after using all the, page 104, available laundry barracks, they were now bringing people to sleep in the hospital corridors. The new arrivals looked bewildered and forlorn, and Yuki felt sorry for them. It seemed a silly business to keep bringing people into a camp that wasn't even ready for them, and Yuki was glad they had their own room, even if it was barren and dusty. Everyone around her looked tired, and feeling weary herself, Yuki leaned on Mother's shoulder and closed her eyes. With the buzz of voices and the antiseptic hospital smells drifting around her, she fell asleep, awakened with a start when she heard the doctor's voice. "We'll keep her here overnight and run some tests," he explained briefly. "You can look in on her now if you like." And then he was gone. They tiptoed to the ward where Emmy was asleep. Her face flushed and her hair damp. She was coughing a dry, raspy cough, even in her sleep. "Oh, dear," Mrs. Kurihara said miserably. "She doesn't look at all well." And she didn't. Yuki had a dreadful feeling that Emmy was a lot sicker than any of them cared to admit. Yuki was told that Emmy wasn't to have any visitors, but the next afternoon she went to see her anyway. After all, she was her best friend, and what good was a friend who stayed away when you were sick? Besides, she had found a trilobite in the sand near their mess hall, and she knew it would make Emmy happy. Yuki tried not to look nervous as she went into the hospital. She marched in the front door as though she belonged there and headed straight for Emmy's ward. The corridors were still crowded, page 105, with people, and no one seemed to know who belonged there and who didn't. Yuki hurried to Emmy's bed and found her staring at the ceiling, her eyes bright with fever and her face still flushed. "Hi," Yuki whispered softly. "You all right?" Emmy was surprised to see her. "Golly, I sure am glad you came," she said weakly. "I thought nobody could come except Grandma and Grandpa." Yuki put a finger to her lips. "I'm not supposed to be here, but nobody even noticed me." She dug into the pockets of her skirt and put the small gray trilobite in Emmy's damp hand. "It's for you to keep," she said grandly. "It's my get-well present to you." Emmy smiled happily. "Thanks. I'm not going to let Grandpa have this one," she said. "This one's going to be mine." And then she began to cough once more. Yuki ducked as a nurse came into the ward with a tray full of medicine. "I'll be back," she whispered. And then, making herself as small as possible, she darted quickly from the room. As she opened the hospital doors, a hot wind roared across the desert, pulling the doors from her grasp and flinging dust everywhere. The sky was a strange, murky gray, blending completely with the sand below, so the whole world seemed to be a gray-white mass. Yuki gasped and drew back. She was facing her first topaz dust storm, and she remembered uneasily what their guide had said the day they'd arrived. Should she wait at the hospital until it was over? But suppose it lasted all day. There was no way to let Mother know where she was. Yuki decided to try running home. If she hurried, maybe she could get there before the storm got too bad. She, page 107, tightened the knot of her bandana, pulled one corner of it over her mouth, and then taking a deep breath, she began to run. The wind now lifted great masses of sand from the ground and flung it into the air with such fury that Yuki could no longer see the barracks of the nearest block. Pebbles stung at her legs, and her breath came in short, gulping gasps. Yuki felt smothered, and her heart began to pound as she felt terror rising inside of her. She wondered if she should turn back, but when she looked The hospital, too, had vanished behind a thick cloud of dust. Yuki ran now with desperation until she finally came to a barrack and could lean against it to catch her breath. Even there, however, she couldn't escape the wind, and she stumbled along until she came to the laundry barrack in the center of the block. She could barely open the door, but fear now gave her strength. She didn't know that she had. The door slammed shut behind her, and Yuki found herself in an empty laundry barrack, hazy with dust. She sank down on one of the benches against the wall and caught her breath. Outside, she could hear the wind still screaming and the sound of objects being thrown against the barrack walls like pieces of driftwood. It seemed like the end of the world, at least the end of Yuki's world. As the barrack shuddered and rattled against the wind, she pictured herself being flung into the desert and blown far away, never ever to see mother or Ken or Emmy or father again. Help! She shouted, but there was no one to hear her. Just when Yuki thought she couldn't bear it another minute, the wind suddenly seemed to ease up. Yuki didn't wait a single second. She dashed from the barracks and headed toward home as fast as she could run. The sand still stung at her face, and she felt, page 108, a terrible ache in her chest. But finally, there was block 7, just ahead, and she hurried on to their barrack. She burst into their room panting and gasping and crying all at once. Mother was sitting alone on her cot, a handkerchief tied around her nose and mouth, her hair powdered with dust. "My, I'm glad to see you," she said, giving Yuki a hug. Yuki clung to the comfort of her mother's embrace. "I didn't think I'd ever see you again," she said, still breathless. "Where in the world were you in all this dust and wind?" Mother asked. If she hadn't been so unnerved by the dust storm, Yuki might not have confessed that she'd sneaked into the hospital to see Emmy. But now she blurted the whole story to Mother in a rush of words. "The dust storm was horrible," she said, shuddering at the thought of it. "And Emmy didn't look good either." It was then that Mother looked at Yuki and said, "I've got something to tell you, Yuki. You mustn't visit Emmy Chan anymore until they know for sure what's wrong with her." "But why?" Yuki asked, puzzled. "They think she may have tuberculosis." "Tuberculosis?" Yuki said, astounded. "But nobody gets that anymore, with milk and butter and things like that." Or did they? Yuki felt her body go cold. Suppose Emmy did have TB. "What will happen if she does have it, Mama?" Yuki asked slowly. "I don't know," Mother said honestly. "They might have to send her to a sanatorium." Then, seeing the sadness that crossed Yuki's face, she added, "But then it may not be that at all, you know." Page 109. "Maybe she just needs some rest and some good, nourishing food." Maybe it was her grandmother's strange juices that had made Emmy sick, Yuki thought. Mrs. Kurihara believed that she could cure any ailment with special herbs and powders and concoctions that she cooked up on her hot plate. Once, in Tanforan, when Emmy couldn't shake off a bad cold in her sunless stall, her grandmother had brewed a broth and made Emmy drink it every day. It was only after Emmy finally recovered that she admitted it had been made by brewing earthworms. "Oh, Grandma," Emmy had shrieked, "how could you make me drink such a horrible thing?" But her grandmother simply shrugged and said, "It made you well when none of the doctor's pills could cure you, didn't it?" And Emmy had to admit that something had indeed made her well. Maybe it was Grandma's magic potion, she told Yuki. But ever since then, Yuki was careful never to visit Miss Kurihara when she wasn't feeling well. And any time she offered her some tea, she smelled it to make sure it was really tea and not some terrible juice that she had brewed. "Poor Emmy," Yuki said now. If she didn't get well soon, she would miss the opening of school.